Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a Friday Q&A and all my questions have come in through my Snapchat, BrianK019. So if you're not following me on there, definitely head over to my Snapchat. It's my most favorite platform at the minute. I try and open it up every day that I can for Q&As back and forth, and I can interact back and forth with people directly. I also put all my workouts up there, books that I'm reading, supplements I'm using, and my meals anytime I can. So it's probably my favorite platform at the minute. So definitely follow me on there, BrianK019. First question comes in from Cal King. Hey Brian, how can I boost my energy naturally? So there's a couple of ways to approach this question. Normally what I would do with anyone that comes through my online program is I would find the causes of why energy is so low. And with a lot of people I work with, I have my online top 50 program is largely based on building muscle or losing body fat or toning up or whatever your goals are, but doing this through improving your nutritional strategy and building a nutritional plan with you so that you have an increase in actual energy levels. I normally find when energy levels are higher, your training output is better, and you're able to have a better life quality throughout the day. It also means that you're not reaching for glucosey and sugary foods or caffeinated drinks just to keep your energy levels high, which can all have a negative effect on your actual body composition if you haven't structured it into your plan. So what I normally try and do is get the nutrition on point first. So if you're eating foods that take away your body's energy, that would be the first thing that I would minimize or eliminate completely. A lot of processed foods, microwavable ingredients, emulsifiers, preservatives, additives, all of these things can take away your body's energy, because what happens when you eat food and you get the consumption of calories, which is basically just energy that your body uses and converts. When you eat foods that are highly processed, your body has to spend a lot of energy trying to break down and figure out what these foods are. So as a result, when you actually get the calories broken down, you don't get that energy spike that the food should naturally give you. So normally what happens with a lot of people that eat processed food is they're tired all the time and their energy levels suffer. Or even if you're eating it, you know, 2-3 times a day, we're using microwavable ingredients and just emulsifier versions and preservative versions of normal food. Things like your microwave porridge, you're just better to get a bag of porridge. They're cheaper, and it takes about 2 minutes to cook it in a pan, you know? So it's very, very similar in terms of time scale. Just they're microwaved, are advertised as 1 minute in the microwave, where it actually takes you 2 minutes to do it on the pan, and you don't have any lecithins or emulsifiers or anything added to it. So I would err on the side of stick with real food as much as you can, because what will happen is when your body digests those calories, you'll actually get them for energy and convert them and use them more effectively. Also, a thing to look out for is making sure that you're not undereating or overeating, because both can make you tired and take away your energy. If you're eating way too little calories, you don't have enough actual energy to be able to go about your day, get your training program at a high level. And if you're eating way too much, you can get sluggish and tired and groggy because your digestion's off. So it's something that there's a little bit of a trial and error in terms of finding what's right for you. My advice, Cal, would be to find the nutritional plan that's based around your specific goals that fits into your lifestyle and schedule, and then just play around with your macros, play around with your foods around that. For example, if you're trying to build muscle, make sure you're in a slight calorie surplus and you're getting enough amino acids for recovery, and you might be timing your carbohydrates around training, insulin-sensitive times, and you may be keeping your fats a little bit higher than somebody that's in a calorie deficit where you're trying to lose body fat. So what I would try and do is make sure that it's based around your specific goals. The main thing that I could advise anybody that's trying to increase their energy levels is to make sure that you're spacing your meals out throughout the day using real food, so that you're keeping your blood sugar levels stable and that you're actually using your food to give you energy as opposed to taking it away, which is what some shitty ingredient foods can do. The other tip I'd offer then is, as I said, is balancing your meals so you're keeping your blood sugar stable. Sometimes what happens with people is if you end up missing meals, your blood sugar levels drop too low, and then you reach for something sugary to try and bring it back up, and you'll get that energy spike and then it'll crash back down, and you'll have this negative feedback loop of energy levels, blood sugar levels dropping, eating food, eating sugary food to bring it back up, and then it drops lower, and then eating more food to bring it back up. and you have this negative cycle through the day. The way to hack this is to space your meals out every 2.5-3 hours so that you're having breakfast, a few hours later a snack, a few hours later your lunch, a few hours later maybe another snack or a protein shake, and then maybe 2 or 3 hours later your dinner. But again, it depends on each person's lifestyle, schedule and goals. I tend to adapt this with each person I work with in the program to make it fit for them. But what I would do is trial and error around what works best for your schedule, include real foods that your body can use for energy, and just space them out so that you're not getting that blood sugar drop and having to eat sugary foods to try and pick it back up, or drink caffeinated drinks just to get your energy levels up through the day. Next question is from Jamie Conroy. How can I build muscle and lose body fat at the same time? Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, I mentioned my online program because it gives a lot of context, because generally the most applicable things in nutrition, training and supplements I use in my program. So I'm able to use it as a reference point, because I just adapt and tweak and change my programs based on what works best for people. So give you a little bit of a context on the version, say, for example, the male or female version on building muscle and losing body fat at the same time. You can do both. You just have to make sure that your training, nutrition and supplementation is all geared towards building muscle and losing body fat at the same time. So the number one thing you want to do is make sure that you're eating a calorie surplus, but just slightly enough that you're able to build muscle and you're getting enough amino acids in your diet so that you're actually able to repair the cells and repair the muscle fibers from your workouts. If you drop into a calorie deficit, your body's going to be more effective at burning body fat. If you're at calorie maintenance, you're going to stay around the same, even though you can change body composition. But going into a 200 or 300 calorie surplus, slightly enough to repair from workouts, should be enough to allow you to build, even though, and then use different strategies to try and get your body fat down. One of my favorite things that I like to do is keeping training time short. So 30, 40 minutes of, say, weight training or resistance work, particularly high intensity things like giant sets, supersets, tri-sets, that will keep heart rate up above 70% or more, which is your fat burning zone technically, but also is tearing fibers to elevate metabolism. So once you're eating enough calories and enough amino acids, you're going to be able to repair back those muscle fibers, and you'll be able to grow even though your body composition is lowering its body fat because your heart rate has been elevated during the workout. I also tend to lean towards high intensity interval training if that's your goal and you want to preserve as much muscle or tone up or hold on to your lean muscle that you have in your body, but also drop body fat, because you tend to get a better bang for your buck with high intensity interval training, because it's short, it's faster, you can burn through glycogen levels faster. If you timed your nutrition properly, you can get into your fat stores, but you're not spending hours and hours on a treadmill, which could allow you to effectively eat into the muscle that you have. Again, it's very context dependent. Everybody's very different in how they'll respond, but my favorite way to do it is to make sure that you're eating a slight calorie surplus, that you're training with higher intensity so that your heart rate's at 70% or more, and that you're using high intensity interval style training as your cardio system, as opposed to low intensity steady state, which is LISS style cardio. And then you're using supplements that are going to repair the fibers from each workout, pull some water underneath the cell, things like creatine, and then you're using things like green tea extract or L-carnitine to support fat loss. So for example, you may have a training program that looks like giant sets with high intensity interval training. You may have a nutritional plan that's timing your carbohydrates around your insulin sensitive times. You're in a 200 or 300 calorie surplus so that you're able to repair from workouts, and you're using supplements like creatine, green tea extract, L-carnitine, alongside obviously a good protein and maybe BCAAs to speed up recovery. Again, it's context dependent on each person. But if you're looking to do both, you can do both at the same time. It's just much easier to either cut or bulk. If you want to bulk up, you just eat more calories than your body needs. If you want to cut back, you eat more calories, or you eat less calories than your body needs to maintain the same weight. So it's a lot easier to bulk or cut. And generally, anyone that tells you you can only bulk or cut is down to nearly a lack of knowledge in terms of how to do both at the same time. It's just a matter of covering all your angles, getting your supplements on point, getting your training on point, and getting nutrition on point, all geared towards building muscle and losing body fat at the same time. Okay, next question from Chessie 3. How long do your training sessions last for? Okay, my training sessions last for about 45 minutes, 50 minutes normally. And I very, 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 very rarely go over an hour. Probably the last time I did over an hour of a workout when I was competing, back when I was doing kind of high-end bodybuilding and fitness modeling, because I was doing my 45, 50 minutes of weight training, and then I was doing 20 to 30 minutes of cardio after. That was now when I was trying to bring my body fat from, say, 6 or 7% down to 4 or 5%. I actually don't think anybody needs to go over the hour mark. Everyone I work with in my program is normally between that 30 minute and 45 minute mark. It's about quality over quantity. You're going to be way better off going in, training at a higher intensity, going straight through, timing your sets so that you're in, out, and that you've had a higher heart rate intensity, or you've been able to maximize actual muscle hypertrophy, lifting under the right parameters and lifting enough weight that you're failing at the right rep ranges. So your 8 to 10 rep ranges, and you're not spending 3-4 minutes on the phone in between sets or talking to people in between sets. One of the things that I advise people that I work with is have a stopwatch, have a clock on your timer, or on your hand or on your wrist. And as soon as you drop your dumbbell or barbell or whatever movement you're doing, body weight movements, you set your timer for your 45, 60 seconds or 90 seconds, depending on the version of the program you're on. And then you get back into your working set as soon as that time is up. That keeps your workouts to 45, 50 minutes max. And it also keeps the intensity level higher. I have seen people in the gym, and if you're one of these people, don't worry, it's a very fixable thing, that spend, you know, 2 hours in the gym and look the exact same month after month after month after month, because they're doing the same workouts, or they're, you know, talking for 4 or 5 minutes between sets. And unless you're a power lifter or a strongman, or you're working for PBs and personal bests and things like that, I would advise keeping the intensity higher. Obviously, it's goal dependent, but if you're talking about body composition and changing the way that your muscles actually look and the way that your body actually looks, it's about keeping the intensity high. So I find that depending on the workout I'm doing, whether I'm doing a GA lean body workout from one of my programs, or I'm doing a bodybuilding split that's in my online program, and I generally just cycle between those programs and the different variations of movements in those. So if you're following my Snapchat, you'll get a lot more insight into that. But I tend to be 45, 50 minutes absolute maximum, and that includes my high intensity cardio at the end, and I tend to be in and out of the gym in an hour. And I think my advice for the majority of people, when body composition is the goal and you have your nutrition on point and you're eating your calories and your macros based around your specific goals, 45, 50 minutes is the maximum amount of time. And I'd even go as far to say as you could get away with 30, 35 minutes, assuming that you're nutrition and supplements and everything was based around your specific goals. So that's a little bit of context on what I do, how long I train for, and how long I advise people train for. But again, if you're a powerlifter or a strongman or have very specific goals that are outside of body composition, that may be completely different for you. But that's just kind of my two cents on what I feel has worked best for the majority of people that I've worked with through my online programs, and what works best for me personally. Okay, next question from Susan1619. Should you take protein before or after training sessions if weight loss is the goal? If weight loss is the goal and losing body fat is the goal, I'll use them interchangeably, even though they're two different things. Fat loss is when your body fat actually drops and your body composition changes. Weight loss is when the scale actually changes. I'm not actually a big fan of weight loss unless you're very, very overweight or obese to start with, because weight is weight. Like 1 kilo of lean muscle and 1 kilo of blubbery fat is still 1 kilo, and they'll weigh the exact same, but they'll look completely different. So I'm not a massive fan of the scale as a way to track your progress in general. And that being said, if you're very overweight or very obese to start with, it is a good indicator and to get you started, and it's a very easy way to track measurement. But it's probably my least favorite way. I prefer to use photos, body fat calipers, your clothes, the way you look, the mirror, feedback from people. These things tend to be a lot better for body composition. And the scales are they give you about 10% of the true indicator. Like, you can drop body fat 10-15% and stay the same weight, assuming you've done it the right way and you've used the right supplements and you've used the right nutrition strategies and the right training programs to do it, and you'll look completely different even though the scale may be the same. So that being said, when to take your protein is very much going to be down to your own nutritional strategies that you're following. to lose weight or lose body fat, I'll use them interchangeably, but I mean body fat, is going to be down to your overall nutrition, making sure that you're in a calorie deficit so that you're not eating too many calories. You're spacing your meals for optimal fat loss so that you're maybe possibly eating your carbs at only insulin sensitive times, when your body is less insulin sensitivity means your body's less likely to store those carbs to body fat at those times. So like first thing in the morning or post-workout, when you've been in a fasted state or you've torn a lot of fibers, you're going to absorb your carbohydrates much better at those times. So that's effectively what insulin sensitivity means. But in terms of for weight loss, it's going to be making sure that you're not eating too many calories and that you're spacing everything else right. Whether you take your protein before or after is going to be down to your own context, lifestyle, and schedule. I have people come through my online program that only take protein after they train because they're either driving an hour to their house afterwards and they need that flush of amino acids directly after training to either get the recovery on track or so they're not in a fasted state too long. Other people will find that they struggle having a meal before training, and having that flood of amino acids and whey protein directly before can help their actual training output and give them a better training session. Particularly some people, I'll have them mix some form of medium chain triglyceride like MCT oil, because your body will use that as a bit of instant ketone release in the brain so that you'll be able to get a hit of ketone release, which is similar to a glucose spike, like having something sugary before training, but without any effect on blood sugars. So some of my people that go through my program will do that. But again, it's the overall context. Before or after is not going to have a massive impact on your overall weight loss or fat loss. It's going to be the overall context of your nutritional plan, the overall context of your training program, and the supplements that you're using to support that. Whether you use it before or after, it's going to be down the down to the context of your lifestyle and what fits best into your schedule. So either and both can work great. So it really depends on your own situation. There's other people that will use it only before and after and won't use it any other times of the day because that might be the most optimal time for them to use their whey protein. Again, it's a supplement. So use it to supplement what you're missing in your diet and to aid you in actually dropping body fat or losing more weight. So yeah, that's how I would use it. So next question from Lewis M54. How much water should I take if I'm using creatine? I would always increase my water intake if you're taking in creatine. It very much varies person to person. Some people have a much higher hydration requirement than others. I would keep in mind that your muscle is about 70% water and I think your brain is 95% water. So if you have even a percentage of mild dehydration, it's going to affect mental cognition and it's also going to affect muscular endurance and muscular strength because of the amount of water that's in muscle and the brain. So I would always make sure that you stay fully hydrated. People at risk are people in hotter countries. I know I have a lot of people from Australia and New Zealand that listen to this and that listen to the podcast. I know it is very, very high in the Australian in podcast charts because I know there's a lot of Irish people over there and possibly some Australians. I'm not sure. Be sure to let me know if you're Aussies and you're listening to this. But people in hotter countries tend to have a higher requirement, obviously, because of the heat. And creatine will also bump up your actual requirement for water. So what I would normally do is whatever your normal natural intake of water is, I would increase it by 1 or 2 liters. And I would use that as my main intake of water. The thing is with creatine, the way it works is it pulls water underneath the cell so that you're able to put more resistance on the muscle. So effectively, I like to think of it like if you have a 2-liter water bottle and you have an empty water bottle, you can bend and crack it. That's kind of like how your muscle is. And then when you load it with water, which is effectively what creatine does underneath the muscle, it allows you to put more pressure and resistance down on it. Like it's very hard to bend and crack a full 2-liter bottle of water because there's extra water underneath it and it's keeping the resistance. It allows you to put more pressure on it. That's how it works in the gym. When you go and pick up a weight, you're able to use the same weight you've normally used for more reps because you've got extra water underneath the muscle, or you can pick a heavier weight for the same reps because of that resistance that you're able to put on the muscle. So my advice would be to make sure that you're increasing your water intake so that you're actually able to not have any negative effects of dehydration that can come from creatine. I remember when I was about 19 and started supplement with creatine first, the first time I ever tried it, I used to get really bad constipation and dry mouth from taking on creatine and not increasing my water, because obviously the creatine was pulling up underneath the muscle and it was taking it from other parts of my body. So what I would advise you do is to make sure that your water intake is about a liter or 2 liters higher than it normally is while you're supplementing with creatine, just as it was a mistake I made when I started first. So hopefully it'll support you moving forward. Okay, so I hope you guys got loads of value from this episode. Real fitnessy based Q&A today, so I hope you guys got a lot from it. And for more information on me, you can head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. I have a 14 days of fat loss free guide, which is an email into your inbox every single morning. So if you want to go onto my website, you can sign up to that on there. And my newsletter is also there, so if you enter your email, you get my weekly newsletter as well. For my Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, it's all Brian Keen Fitness. And my Snapchat, where I got all the questions from today, is BrianK019. If you're following me on anything at all, I would definitely recommend my Snapchat. It's my most active platform at the minute. So BrianK019, definitely follow me on there. A massive thank you to everybody again for downloading and listening. And thank you to Colm at Voxonic, who edits and puts together my podcast episodes. Anyone that needs a podcast put together, cannot recommend Colm enough. So thanks again for downloading, guys. Catch you soon.
Hey everyone, as a thank you to everyone who subscribed to my podcast, I'm giving away two free programs every week for the month of April, one for each episode. My two flagship programs are the BKF online program, which is my male and female program that has everything you need to build muscle, lose body fat and tone up. Each version is based around your specific goals. And my GA Lean Body program, which is all the tools you need to get into incredible shape, whether that's to build muscle, tone up or lose body fat while simultaneously improving your performance so you're fitter, faster and stronger on the pitch. For a chance to win whichever program fits your goals best, just subscribe to my podcast and leave an honest review. I'll be picking two winners every week. Winners will be announced on my Snapchat, BrianK019. So be sure to follow me on there to see if you've won. I'm picking the winners from random reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. So thanks again for downloading and subscribing, and best of luck to everyone.